Welcome to the One Player Podcast, the show on solitaire board games. I'm your host, Albert, and this is episode 334.
Strong jokes are really hard to come up with in this one, so ha 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 ha, year.
You can even come up with a 20 joke, much less a strong one, huh?
Not even one. Certainly not 20.
Well, that's a shame, because today's game is 20 strong, which is such an odd title for a game.
Why is it an odd title? The whole the premise of the title is really based on the core mechanic of the game, or core basis of the game, because
the shiny components, yes.
Only part of the game is the 20 dice. That's the only part of the game that lasts from the different decks that's inserting it. So you couldn't call it by any one deck. You just have to refer to the 20 dice.
Yeah, I know, but it's just still a weird and odd name, if you ask me.
I disagree. I actually think it's a good name for the system.
Interesting. Okay, well, so that listeners, is our episode for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. That was our thoughts on 20 Strong.
No, hush, Albert. We have much more to talk about on 20 Strong. So, for anybody who's not familiar with 20 Strong, 20 Strong is a system of games, of which there are currently three decks released for the system. But in the basic idea of the system, you have four types of dice. And the dice are based on different colors. So you're going to have your very good dice, which will have pips on all sides. Actually, there's five if you consider the red one. But then there's the other different levels that have different amounts on them. So like there's the yellows and the greens and the blues. But they'll have pips on different sides, and some sides will be blank. The number of blank sides decreases as you get stronger. And then they'll have three dice that are numbered dice instead of having just a dot on between two and six of the sides. You will have an actual number on it, and those are used for tracking your stats. The idea of the game is that you'll have a deck, and generally what happens, the core of the game, is that you'll be pulling cards out of the decks for some fashion, and you'll be having to choose which dice you want to allocate towards whatever's happening on the deck at that point in time. Dice that are chosen to be allocated towards whatever card you're doing are going to be exhausted. If you run out of dice, you're probably going to lose. So you want to be judicious with which dice you're doing, but at the same time, you want to generally succeed at the missions that you're having to interact with.
Mm-hmm. So the listeners, when we get to the discussion about theme, you'll notice that Julius's introduction to the game was all about mechanics. There's probably a reason for that, isn't there?
Well,
because the theme is just, it's very light. So, let's tell users what the game is about. It's sort of a fighting game. And as Julius said, it's a system. It brings a deck of cards that you can play against, but you can buy other decks.
Three decks.
And it is also another important thing to mention about this game is that it's by chip theory.
So it has a chip.
It has a chip. They had to have at least one chip, but they're also really known for high quality components. And this one is no exception.
But we'll come back to that when we get to components. Or let's just start components. What do you say,
Alex? Okay.
We talked about it.
Yeah, let's talk. I mean, we said enough about the game, right?
We did a very quick rundown for the game.
Yeah.
Let's go to components.
All right, so the components, it's a small, tiny little box. It's bigger than a deck of cards, but not by a whole lot. I mean, that's because it doesn't bring much more than that. It brings a deck of cards. It brings the 20 dice that Julius mentioned, and the chip theory in a little tray. Oh, and a little skinny rule book. All that in a box, in a very...
Two little rule books.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess one system rule book and one for the specific deck that came with the game. And the deck brings its own tuck box also. And those are the components. Boy, they're nice quality. Everything's really nice. Even the box itself, it has felt lining inside, so you can use it as a dice tray, which is pretty darn neat. It's a little small for that, but makes this game super portable.
And the cards are also very strong cards. I think they're the PVC type of cards.
Yes, they are PVC.
And they have a foil finish to them as well. So especially on the what we're going to call the basic-ish version, which is the Solar Sentinels version. So that one, all of the enemies that are out are this black and white theme with a foil of different colors, whether it's red or blue. And that foil helps the image pop really nicely, I think.
Yeah, it does. And it really shows in that one. I think way more than... I have two of them. I have that one. I have Hoplomachus. And the other one has foil also, but it's not as present and it's not quite as noticeable. It doesn't stand out very much as having foil, unlike the one that came with the game.
Yeah, I think the one that comes to the game is probably the shiner of the system.
Is it? Okay. Well, so I feel like we're sort of like just jumping around. So you get the box, the fancy box, you get the 20 dice. Julia's mentioned those already. They're fancy and they got nice glitter in them. They're smaller than 60 millimeter, but not by much. And they're stinky.
So there's a couple issues with these dice. They are custom dice. They are theoretically glittery, but the production method that was used on them is kind of poor. The glitter has settled stronger on one side than the other. So one side comes out very glittery, and the other face of the dice comes out not. I actually think it looks better with a side that has less glitter. The amount of glitter kind of makes it a little hard to read. Now then, all you're needed to see is there a starburst or not on the side? So it doesn't really matter about the clarity so much. But I will say I'm not a fan of the dice. They appear to be not the highest quality of production used for these dice. Additionally, when I got mine, it was very smelly. They made some comments about it, about leaving it out, letting it de-smellify because they had some issues with production. These dice are a kind of a bear.
Yeah. Now you've had this for a while. Are yours still smelly?
They have a slight, they're not nearly, when I first got them, they were very strong.
Okay.
At this point in time, I can still tell that it was there. It's not like a clean and pure scent, but it's not bad. It's not it doesn't detract at this point.
Okay. Interesting. So you're talking about the glitter. My dice have small glitter and large glitter pieces in the plastic. The small glitter seems to be pretty evenly distributed. The large one isn't. And those, you know, sometimes like one side, you'll just see a lot of glitter. And especially happens, it's most noticeable on the sides that have the blanks. And I kind of like that effect, actually. I thought that was pretty neat. I get that it's an accident, but I do enjoy that. Either way, they definitely tried to make super fancy dice. Maybe they'll fix the production in the future, though, and get rid of that smell and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to be doing another, not Kickstarter, but another crowdfunding project. And I'm hopeful that the next set of dice is going to look better. Because frankly, the dice that came, like that were advertised, were not the super glittery ones. It was a marbleized texture. And I think the ones that were originally in the campaign look much better than the dice we received.
Oh, nice. Okay, so interesting.
I was disappointed.
I didn't know anything about this game until recently when I was in a game store in Columbia, South Carolina, and they had it in their one player section. So I picked it up then. But so we got the dice, we got the cards that you mentioned are PVC. They're pretty heavy because they're made of PVC. They're pretty sturdy. I worry that the plastic will scratch and the paint will come off over time with a lot of play. I've no idea. I'm not going to sleeve them. So I'm just going to let that happen if it does. As I said, they come in a box, simple, pretty box. And then you get the chip and a little chip tray. And the chip is weird, right? It's got two sides. One has numbers 0 through 20, a little chip series symbol. And then the back, it has colors and like a half moon. And depending on which game you're playing, it alters how the chip gets used. Besides the chip itself, there's a little tray that you put it on. It's magnetic, and the chip is metal, I guess, or has a magnet also inside, maybe. I don't know. So you could put it on there and spin it. And the little tray acts as a marker, as a little notch on the left so you can tell what it's pointing to. So I think that's pretty neat that it has that and the way it works. The quality, I mean, it's nice, but it's also kind of just fine for what it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was just done so that they can say there's a chip in the game.
Yes, I think so, because at least in one of the games, it feels like almost unnecessary. Almost. The other thing, I guess, I love the box with the felt in it. I think that's a pretty cool idea.
Agreed. For a dice game where you're constantly rolling dice, that was very sensible to add in. Mm-hmm. Maintains the idea that the game is really portable.
Yeah, and it's a little too small for using it for rolling, but it is functional, and in a pinch, you know, that it's great. You're on a plane and you don't want the dice to fall off.
Too small for rolling, in my opinion. I think it's a good size, but it's a good balance between maintaining portability being a dice tray.
Yes, absolutely. And both the top and bottom have felt, and the bottom is much deeper. So you could use that one also if you wanted to, whatever. Anyway, those are the components. Generally speaking, high quality, because Chip Theory Games likes to spend a lot of their resources on upgrading component quality. That's what they're known for. You know, like you said, the dice were not exactly a hit, but, you know, they always try for sure. So there we go. That's the components. I don't know how many cards are in the deck. It's more than a standard deck of cards. It's not 52. It's probably like 60 or 70 cards is my guess. But it is not much more than that. One rule book, 64 cards. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, a little more than a standard deck.
Not enough, because some of those are also hero cards and final boss cards, sure, and things like that. So,
but there are cards that get used potentially in the game.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the components. I guess we'll probably talk a little more about it when we talk how the game works in more detail. Then there's the theme.
Well, just by the way, to comment on the rule book, because we usually do discuss that.
Oh, is the rule? Yeah, I have rule book after theme in my notes, but that's fine. The rule book is very small because it's a small game in a small box. It's about the size, you know, the dimensions of a deck of box, but just way thinner because it's only like probably like about 12 pages. I'm not sure. I haven't counted them. It's simple enough to follow the rules in the rulebook. I found it easy to learn and play. I find it easy to reference. Everything's organized very well. At the back, it has a nice chart, including the dice in order from the weakest to the strongest, which is super helpful because when you're playing, you know, it's like the dice all look the same, but the colors are the difference, and you need to choose which ones you want to play with. Why, if I don't remember if yellow or purple is stronger, I check the back of that rulebook, and there it is. It's straightforward and obvious. I found the game pretty easy to learn. So we did mention earlier, the game actually is modular. So there is a second rule book that each deck brings its own rule book. Learning the game from the two rule books is a little bit weird, honestly, but it wasn't difficult because the game is pretty simple. Read the main rules through first and then go and read the rules for that deck. And I found it super easy to integrate. I didn't.
Yeah, this is what I thought you were really going to get on about, because I know you have issues with the rules that have the solo rules called out separately and then you have to reference between the two. And so I thought you'd have issues with it. I know for me, maybe it's because I've played all three and I'm switching between them all, but I sometimes get confused about which ones have this rule change and which ones is this. It's like playing from Solar Sentinels and then moving to Hubblemax. I was like, wait, does this one, was that part of the basic rules or was that only part of Solar Sentinels? And then you have to, you reference all three rule books to figure it out.
Oh, that's true. That could be an issue then. I didn't have that much of a problem. There was one rule in the Solar Sentinels one that doesn't happen in Hoplomachus, where at the end of each round, you discard one of the cards from the top of one of the three decks. I was thinking, am I supposed to do that also every time, you know, for the other game? But no, that was specific to that. So you're right. That is a little bit confusing. You have to reference it. And I guess the layout of the rules for this, for each individual deck, are not, I don't think they're quite as clear to follow. They're fine, but they're not quite as clear. Maybe it'd be nice if I had a reference. Here's the things that are different in this deck. That would be handy.
Yeah.
If you only have the base game though, then it doesn't matter. It's just
that's
fine.
True. That's definitely true. Okay. So I just want to make sure we were bringing that about the rules. You can move back to the theme now.
Oh yeah. So what do you think about the theme, Julius? Did you feel like your Solar Sentinel at all, or?
I absolutely did.
Really?
Yes. For Solar Sentinels, I thought that the theme comes through really strong. The idea of Solar Sentinels, and perhaps it's because it's by itself for this one. Solar Sentinels is a gameplay world that they haven't used for anything else. They've announced that it's one they're intending on basing a more full game of at a later point in time. And the other two decks are Too Many Bones and Hoplomachus, which are both game systems that they've made. So Solar Sentinels is all by itself. This is before the, you know, main game, in air quotes, comes out. And the idea of this, at the very least, the way this version of Solar Sentinels is, you are an empowered, like, knight person with, like, solar-based superpowers, and you are having to fight your way through a battlefield of enemies that are constantly coming at you, trying to attack, you know, the main bulk of the army behind you, and your job is to keep fighting your way through and reach the general at the end and defeat the general. And the mechanics of fight an enemy, win or lose, move on to the next one, and just constantly running forward through it until you reach the big guy for a big boss at the end, that all feels thematic to me, and I enjoy that gameplay of Solar Sentinels a lot.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't feel any theme coming through in this one at all. To me, it felt really, it was just about the mechanics and choosing what to fight and which dice to use, but I didn't feel any sense of exciting theme whatsoever in this game, in either version. I could see the theme in there, but no.
Which one did you play first? I'm curious.
Solar Sentinels. Because I got the game, and then I got the expansion later, so I'd already played Solar Sentinels at that point.
Okay. Did you feel the same about Hoplomachus?
Yeah, it's a little bit more theme there, because I could see how you have an arena. Hoplomachus is very tactical, and you're moving around and positioning yourself and fighting.
Uh-huh.
And there's a little bit of positioning yourself in that deck also. So that part came through, but again, it didn't feel like I was in an arena fighting.
I felt Hoplomachus was more on theme. Perhaps what hurt it is just because you don't have it's trying to represent a game that has a bigger arena, that has a bigger dynamic, and you sort of shrunk it down, and you're trying to represent it with cards, and it works okay. For me, though, Too Many Bones really did not feel thematic to me. There's the different types of things, and you're having to pick which ones you want, and often I was like, well, if I do this one, maybe just... Too Many Bones have more thematic disconnects to me about choosing the type you want, and some encounters like don't actually do things, and I don't know, it was less tight for me on Too Many Bones.
But it's interesting that you find that the theme is there for the other two, but not for that one. Well, okay, so that's theme. It's a hit or miss. Some people may like it, some may not. Feels very thematic based on the two of us, anyway.
But you made comments that it felt like it was all about the gameplay, so at least the gameplay delivers?
Not really. Oh. We'll get more into that. But I was not satisfied with this game, honestly.
Well, let's go into the gameplay some, though.
Yeah, let's talk about the gameplay. So this is a game, as Julie said, about rolling dice. The core mechanic that exists in all the games is you'll have a character card with three different attributes. Those attributes are represented by dice, so they range from 1 to 6. The first attribute is your health, how strong you are, how much damage you could take before you die and the game ends. The second is, it's a little square one, which is how many rerolls you get each round, basically. And that's also how many things you could carry, how many items you could carry, because you could carry items in this game as you defeat the bad guys. And the third one is your recovery, how many dice you get back at the end of each round. Because as you're playing, when you roll your dice, the dice you choose to use for that round get set aside and are now exhausted, and you have to refresh them at the end of the round, but you can only refresh so many. So you're going to find that if you use a lot, which you want to, so you could have succeed for sure, you're going to suddenly be out of dice and not be able to do as much the next round. So those are three dice, and you have them on your hero. Each hero card is double-sided, so there's actually two heroes per card. You choose which one you want to use, and they all also have special abilities, so it kind of matters. And the special abilities will manipulate the game in different ways, right? The gameplay then, the core gameplay for the base game is you're going to have three piles of cards. Your goal is to get through all the piles, run out of the cards, and then fight the boss. And I think there's like 6 or 8 different bosses, maybe 10, I don't remember.
I think it's 6.
6, yeah, okay, that sounds about right. When you play, you don't know which one you're going to be fighting because you've shuffled them up. And they're in a deck face down, and you'll fight whichever's at the top of the deck when you get to them. But each round, you basically choose one of the three piles, take a card from that pile, and fight it. Each card that you're fighting has a strength, how many hits you got to do to it, and how much damage it will do to you if you are not able to kill it in the round. Besides that, each enemy also has a section of things that happen when you're playing against it, and a section for rewards. The things that happen when you're fighting against it in the round could be things like, oh, if you pick this enemy, you also got to draw 2 more enemies on top of that, or 1 more enemy. Well, it depends. Each one will be different. Most are 0. Some will have other effects, and they're all different. I think every single effect is different. Some will say like, oh, you could only use 2 dice total this round, and it'll be a weak enemy. Or you can't use purple dice, or you have to apply all the yellow dice first before, or you have to apply colors in pairs, or whatever, all sorts of different things. It gets more interesting when you have multiple enemies, because then you get restrictions that conflict with each other as you're playing. Then you need to remove one enemy first to clear his restriction, so you could then defeat the other one more easily, or maybe even at all. if you defeat the enemy, once you've rolled as many times as you're allowed to roll, because remember that second attribute told you how many rerolls you get. Once you've rolled all the dice you can and you've applied your hits, if there's any enemies you didn't destroy, you're going to take damage from them, reducing your health die. And any you did kill, you get a reward. Some rewards are instant. Some happen throughout the life of the game. Some are one-shot rewards that you could activate whenever you want to and it's appropriate. And then at the end of the round, you're going to discard one card from any of the three decks you want. You're going to keep doing this then, round after round, picking an enemy to fight, fighting it, discarding another enemy until you've gotten through the entire deck, and then you fight the boss. That's basically the whole game for the basic game, for the Solar Sentinels. Mechanically, it's easier than the Hoplomachus, and I'm guessing easier than the other one too.
I think so, yes. It probably is the easiest to play through, which, to my mind, with the way the game is played, feels like the best way of doing it. I have to emphasize, the game to me feels, it's not a huge, deep game for like the weekend when you wanted to fill a bunch of time. It's meant to be a short little game. For me, it takes like 20 minutes to play through. It's lighter.
That sounds about right, yeah.
So, yeah, 20 strong, 20 minutes makes sense. So, and I think this one really delivers on that idea of having a fun marching forward battle and playing through that. Albert commented that the game is probably at its peak when stuff is essentially challenging. Part of the mechanic is that if there's an enemy that comes out that's blue, you have to choose that enemy. And some of the enemies will summon, a lot of the enemies will summon more enemies. And often the boss will summon two fistfuls of enemies. And then you have a whole bunch of garbage on your hand to be able to get through.
Yep. And you only have 16 dice at most. So it means that, you know, it might be a challenge. And if you need to do a lot of damage, especially if some of those are already exhausted. I didn't mention that before, right? Yeah, so when you fight, you're going to roll your dice and apply the dice as hits. When the round is over, all those dice are exhausted and off to the side. You can then recover a few.
Even if you didn't need them, because you may say, hey, I need to get 4 hits. I'm going to make sure we do this. I'm going to put 8 dice, and then you roll 8 hits. And you're like, well, that was wasteful. And then you essentially have wasted 8 dice.
Yep.
Or 4 dice, rather.
But all 8 are exhausted. So
exhausted.
And if your recovery is only 3, well, you know, you got 3 back, that's great. But the other 5 are just going to have to wait. And hopefully the next round, you could do it with 1 die or 2, maybe.
Well, I think part of the strategy is also there'll be some times where you'll take a fight just to absorb the damage in order to just recover and not spend any dice.
Yeah.
I think that has to be part of your strategy in order to be able to succeed.
And you could also, you know, I mentioned that you get rewards as you're playing. Some of the rewards include raising your attributes. So some will let you maybe increase how many dice you're getting back each round or how many rerolls you get in a round. All those help.
So returning to my thoughts on the gameplay, when you have like blue enemies that you're forced to take and you have to deal with that, when you have a bunch of enemies coming out and now like they're stacking up, and like, well, do I really want to deal with this guy in addition to these ones? To me, that's where the game shines. And it happens a lot of times when you're playing that there's a lot of the shiny moments. The rest of the moments, I think it's a good thing, in my opinion, for the game to have sort of like troughs and peaks, to have times where you're stuck with really hard decisions and you have to really push it. There's other times when you're like, okay, this is not a problem at all. I've got a pizza out. I'm not going to suffer anything if I take this guy. It's a free recover. Duh. We'll just do that. So having a mix of those balances out to me and keeps the thing engaging.
Each round, each combat is interesting. The choices of which enemy to pick from the 3 stacks is interesting because there's a lot of things to consider there. Which dice you want to use is an interesting choice, not just you want to use the best ones generally, but then also the different conditions that the enemies impose may change those choices and what you have available. So again, interesting choices there. And even as you're applying the dice, which enemy you put it on first and second can be an interesting choice. When you try and win or lose, at the end, when you're refreshing your dice, which ones you choose to take back. Usually you're just going to want the strongest, but not necessarily. There might be cases you want different. And all those choices are interesting. I found them interesting. And I generally found each round fun. My problem is that it just felt the same round after round after round.
Not to me.
Yeah, no, I don't know why. It didn't feel like a change. Like the last few games, I'm like, you know, I don't even feel like finishing it. So it's going to keep going the same until I'm done. I don't know why. They're tactically different every single round. I mean, and I'm making choices, but it's just, it felt like it didn't change. I don't think that's entirely true, but that's how it felt to me.
Huh.
As you're playing, you do get stronger. And so the stronger you get, the better you're able to do. But the enemies aren't getting tougher necessarily as you're playing along. It may change the choices you take, and you may finally take on enemies that you were avoiding before because they were too difficult. And now you're saying, well, now I could finally fight them. But even then, it always felt like the same kind of fight, the same kind of choices round to round. Until you get to the boss. Then the boss is finally a big battle, and hopefully yeah. You powered up enough and you saved all the right things for it, and you could fight it and win it, which I haven't yet.
It felt unique. It felt dynamic to me. So, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Mm-hmm. I had a good time with it all. So, one thing that I also want to comment about the gameplay. Some of the choices, well, I suppose I struggled with it because it changed. My opinions on this have changed over the course of my time preparing for this. When I had first played the game, the first couple of times, I'm like, well, it really seems like the obvious choice for this is as soon as you see like ones that increase your stats, and especially ones that increase your recover, you obviously want to be able to take that. Like, recover is good every time, and it's better than anything else. If you see something gives a recover come up, like, grab it. But then I saw some other effects are also really good, like pizza comes up, and it's one that gives you an extra heart every time, or someone that's just increase your health by a bunch, or can let you skip ones, or survive an elite ones, or cancel the extra draws. And so over time, as I've played it and delved more into it, I feel a bit like, well, wait, I felt like my original assumptions about the obvious strategy were contested. And for such a small game to be able to sort of push me a direction and be like, no, this is not an obvious decision, that felt like a really good space for the game to be at.
Mm-hmm. I'll admit, I have not played it enough to get that deep into it yet. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I need to play it more still. I got it kind of recently. But you know, so that's the thing with the game. How many times do you have to play a game that you're not enjoying until it becomes fun? You know, is that something that a person should do? Saying, well, it's not fun yet, no. So let me spend another 4 hours and then maybe I'll finally have fun. I don't know. That no. seems like a... No? You don't...
I mean, for me, if I'm not finding a game fun, I tend not to pick it back up too many times. Like mm-hmm, it has to feel like there's a kernel where I think I'm going to have fun with it, and I'm relatively self-aware to be able to find that. And if it's not, it's not. But I found it fun.
And so, yeah, and so especially nowadays, there's so many choices with solo games that I mean, yeah, you don't have to play a game if you're not enjoying it. You could find a different one that you are. Now, if your collection is small and you're not going to buy a lot of games, then it's harder. And you, if you get the game and say, well, I can't really get another game because that was my budget for the month, I guess then you're going to work your way through it and learn it and find the fun in it. Or back when there weren't as many choices, you know, it's like, well, this is what there is, so I guess I'll play this one and eventually have fun. So maybe, you know, it's a bit of a curse of its own success there, gaming, solitaire gaming specifically, and multiplayer gaming for that matter, I guess. That there's so many choices that it's harder to succeed as a game. You have to wow somebody from the get-go. But I don't know. I mean, I do appreciate the portability. I do appreciate the quality of the components and all that and the look of it. I didn't personally like the art for the Solar Sentinels that much. It's cool looking and it's shiny, but I don't know. It looked like another Space Marine sort of thing. Fighting aliens, you know.
It is another Space Marines, but it's a really cool looking Space Marines. It's got like shiny, these shiny bugs different. Coming out, and you got like the very anime dudes who are running past. It was like it's very Voltron. Like the dudes are very Voltron, okay. And the enemies are these like big old bug type things from like Dune. I feel like we should have had this fight back at Components, but what?
I don't know. I was expecting something different, maybe, and maybe I was just thrown off guard by it. I don't know. I'll admit that the different characters you can pick are very different looking. You know, they are, like I said, Space Marines, but some of them are rather unique. Like, I think there's one that's a motorcycle kind of character, and it looks more like a transformer than a person or something.
Yeah, sure.
And I thought that was interesting. But the maybe it's the limited color palettes that they use. Where, like you said, it's basically black and white. And when we say black and white, it means red and white or yellow and white, depending on
the type of black, color. Red, and white. It's black, white, and some extra splash
shiny
color.
Yeah, and some shiny. So it is a very limited palette, and I don't know. That was a choice. That's only for the Solar Sentinels, though. The other ones are different.
And I mean, I don't know if you've seen at least the three pieces of art for the next three decks, but they look cool. Just saying.
I was looking at BGG. Is it available on their website? I guess.
I know they announced it at the end of the last Kickstarter. Where is it that I can find it?
So they've announced three more, you said?
They have.
You know, for a Chip Theory Games, it isn't that expensive either. I mean, it's a small box, but they are quality components. I think the base game retails at $30. That's what I bought it for at the game store. You know, it's comparable to an Oniverse game, which is probably about $30 also. So
yeah,
it's smaller than those. Yeah, a little smaller, but still, in terms of what you're getting, amount of gameplay.
And I think it's a little lighter than an Oniverse game to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Noting a little lighter than an Oniverse game with like expansions added onto it, which is how I only play the Oniverse games.
So I'd say, so price-wise, it's pretty reasonable and comparable. Each of the expansions is $20.
And I sent you a link just now for the upcoming one.
Let's go look at the link. Tanglewoods. Oh, I saw three promo cards of Tanglewood, and I said, those look nice. What is that? I didn't realize it was the promos for the next one.
Yeah, that's promos for the next one. So it's supposed to be a twist version of classic fairy tales.
Okay. Do you know if they're going to do like their other properties? You know, Chip 3 has a number of games at this point, right? There's
I don't know what they're going to be opening up to. I think they've said they want to open it up to all sorts of things, but I don't know. There's been no announcements.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I mean, I don't know. I didn't enjoy the game tons, but I do look forward to seeing more.
Oh, yeah, the
dice look very different.
I liked it, and I give it a recommendation. If it weren't for the dice having issues with me, I'd probably give it an even stronger recommendation. But I enjoy it. I think it's a nice game for, you know, plugging into a time when you want to play a game, but you don't have a lot of time for it. That plugs very nicely into that.
You know what? I'm looking at the art on the page, on their GameFound page, and it has like picture of some sort of alien crawly bug. And you can see background around and stuff. It looks different than the card. There's more detail than the card itself. It's like, oh, you know what? That actually does look good. Maybe the shininess and the layout of the card, the design was throwing me off, but the art itself is cool looking.
I'm not sure if you're a convert at this point in time or not, because you like the art on the Kickstarter, but not on the cards.
Yeah, not as much. I'll have to look at it again. I don't know. I'll play it more. I will give it a chance. I'm not going to do hours and hours, but we'll see if it grows on me.
I'll give it hours and hours because I expect to continue playing it.
All right. Okay. Well, so there we go. It's 20 strong and expansions.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We love feedback, so we love hearing from you. You can reach me at julius@oneplayerpodcast.com or jlbird on BGG, and Albert can be reached at albert@oneplayerpodcast.com or fractaloon on BGG. Our website is oneplayerpodcast.com with the number one, and we're also on Twitter @oneplayerpodcast. The intro music is copyright Angus, can be found at jamendo.com. The transition music is copyright by Dan Elduche Pancaldi, whose page is at danpancaldi.com. The One Player Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Thanks for listening.